And with this little sample, welcome back to the fifth episode of the Computing Stories podcast. And as always, I brought this time a special guest with me, and today I speak with Andrea Taichi. I hope I didn't butcher the name too much, but hello.
No, it's okay. Hi, hello. Thank you for having me. The name was perfectly pronounced. You can also say Taggy, as they call me in Germany. Sometimes that's how I introduce myself, Andrea Taggy.
Maybe for the people never heard of you, who are you?
I am a musician, originally a pianist. I did conservatory in Amsterdam. Back then I studied jazz, and then I went more into improvised music, contemporary music, and later on transitioned into electroacoustic music, eventually ending up today more in the experimental electronic music scene, both as a composer, so I release record on several labels, different formats and so on, and I also perform my own music, so I basically rework my own studio material for live performance with several machines and stuff. So I'm not a DJ, as many people think, but I'm not.
Let's talk about the sample we just hear. What have we heard at the start of this episode?
Well, because you were asking me for this podcast to talk about the work that I did on the analog computer. And so what you just heard is a recording that dates back to 2016. So which was basically my first residency at the Willem II Studios in Den Bosch in the Netherlands, an amazing space for music experimentation research. And the studio technician Hans Köhl showed me this incredible device, which is an analog computer that many people probably don't really know about, or not as many as, you know, would be good, especially in the music circle. And what you just heard basically is a recording of a Hitachi 240 that is stored at the Willem II Studios.
Yes, when you Google the name Willem II Studios, I think you should find a video from Heinbach where you can also see this beautiful analog computer, as we talked about them in the last episode.
Yes, definitely. You can see that. I think I also have a video there in that very studio.
Oh, yeah.
And but yeah, the analog computer is a bit in the back. So, and also we put some sort of red lights in the studio, so it's not particularly clear. But yeah, it's that studio which contains a bunch of different devices, mostly not really meant for music in the first place, like test and measuring equipment from power plants that were turned into music instruments by the same studio technician, Hans Kölk.
And maybe just we start with another simple question. How did you get into music with analog computers?
still Hans' fault. in the sense that it was him that turned me on to the machinery that he collected over his lifetime. Because I applied for a residency at the Willem II Studios back then, where they first started to offer them. So, and then you entered the studio, and I didn't understand one single thing, because of course these are not even music instruments, and I was more acquainted with synthesizer, modular systems and stuff like that. And while, yes, you would still have cables that you could plug into one thing into another, it was basically impossible to figure it out without the help of somebody. And then it was basically him that showed me how to patch it and what it can do and what sounds you can get out of it. And during these periods, you try to make the best out of your time because you don't really have a lot, like maybe 2 weeks or so. And you still have to come up with something which is musically and artistically decent that you can be sort of happy about and start working on when you get back home. And at the same time, you might already have some ideas of the music you would like to record and see how it actually turns out using completely foreign equipment and in a foreign environment, which is usually what brings a lot of nice surprises to somebody's work because you're out of your comfort zone. And so all these things combined, you know, time constraints, the fact of not knowing one single thing inside the room, but having, you know, decent help and guidance, you try to come up with something musically sensible.
As you already said, analog computers weren't made for music. So, what is so special about making music with analog computers? And especially now, you made music with them for a lot of years now. What would you say is better or special with analog computers for music?
Well, first of all, it's the whole setup, the fact that you're working, like I said, with an instrument that you're not really familiar with. So it's this thing of having some constraints and restraints that gets a lot out of your research somehow because you're limited and you have very few parameters that you can work on. And so these sort of limitations can really help being more focused in what you want to achieve and the things you want to get out of this machine. And more specifically, you know, analog computers are able to calculate functions like sine wave functions, which are, of course, also mathematically expressed. But the moment you tune these sine waves into the audible range, you can use them for music. And I don't know if I'm getting too technical, but analog computers are before the times of classic ADSR envelopes, so where you can shape the sound like in modern synthesizer. They don't really have that. So they have a very peculiar percussive character that somehow sounds a bit like acoustic percussion in a way. The decay of the sine tone is very natural, and the attack is super snappy and very transient rich. I cannot really compare it to any other machine that I used before. And they are really like raw, you know, like it's the kind of sound which is so full of harmonics of any kind. Which can make your speakers blow, you know, if you're not really able to EQ it properly. So it's very kind of raw material. Many synthesizer and machine nowadays have been tamed in a sense because they're easier to use musically. You don't require tons of really extreme EQing when you're composing, and you can play them basically on a big sound system without you know, destroying the amps. But these machines, you know, you have to be careful about because they are very, very kind of primitive in a way, which is the beauty of it, I think.
Analog computers are coming back at the moment, I would say, and a lot of people want to get into music with analog computers. So, out of your perspective, what would you say is a good point to start with music with analog computers?
Well, I mean, I think that now there is the analog thing from Bernd Ullmann, which should be quite affordable. So I think that's the best way to get started, I think, because finding the opportunity of going to one of these residency spaces could be tricky. Of course, you can do it. You might need to apply for subsidies before, wait for availability and so on, which is still possible, of course. Willentwe Studios is definitely one of the options. I also worked in Berlin at the Signallabor, which is part of the Humboldt University, which might still be a place where one could use an analog computer. But I suppose that the most affordable and practical way is to use Bernd Ullmann's that.
And maybe knowledge wise, so you need a little bit of knowledge for using analog computers and getting music out of it. So what would you say to that? Where can you get the necessary knowledge to get hearable tones of out of such a computer?
Well, then I think it would be best if somebody can guide you through the instrument itself, or you should just start to read the manual a bit and understand this graph, these diagrams, which are meant to explain how the routing and the patching goes. But I guess that it's probably easier if you read a bit the manual of the particular instrument you're using and get some assistance. Normally for these machines, depending on where you are, you do have studio technician that can guide you through, especially because if you're doing it for music, you might want to spend more time recording things rather than you know, going through the pages of the manual. So that's at least how I got into that and the sort of knowledge that I received before using them, which is anyway, I mean, you don't need to become an expert of the machine itself. It's more about how to have some sounds already running and then how to modify the tuning, for instance. So tune it in a very low register if you need, and also how to modify the length of the wave, so the decay and the release of the sound. Already with those two parameters, you can do a lot if you have some ideas, for sure. That's also the thing, like what you want to record in terms of musical ideas, because if that is missing, the knowledge is important, but then might be good to already have a plan also in terms of musical development and composition recordings.
Maybe we can get a little bit technical in this podcast. I think we spoke already a lot in the last episodes about quite technical things and with analog computers and so on. So I would say we can try it how it works, but could you describe a quite simple circuit on an analog computer where you could get your first sound of it?
Well, the patch that I got to use originally was made by the studio technician. So again, it's something that you can be busy with and know about, but it's easier when somebody already builds a patch that you can use for a musical idea and for a recording. But what we are hearing are basically what they call resonators, which are the equivalent of oscillators when you like describe them in synthesizer language. And in this particular setup, I had a few of them, sometimes even four, and they were triggered by external pulse generators and then going into another device from Hewlett Packard Bell, which is called the word generator, as funny as it sounds, which is basically the equivalent of a sequencer with 16 steps. And having these pulse generators triggering the sequencers or the word generators going into the analog computer, you could make incredible polyrhythms all of a sudden, which basically were coming out of four of these different resonators, all of them in this particular setup sending out sine tones.
I think somewhere in the internet is also a video of you from a talk at a last days of the Signallabor in Berlin, because it isn't there anymore, and you also talked a little bit about music with analog computers, and you had a quite small setup for making music. So do you need this much outboard gear you talked about, or could you just make music that sounds good with just, let's say, the analog thing?
I should actually have the analog thing in my hands, but before, because I've never used it, although it's on my list. But I've seen little samples on YouTube of people making some music out of it, and it sounds pretty good. Also, it depends on what sort of music you want to make. But if it's about beautiful sine tones and more glitchy sort of aesthetics, I can imagine you can make a lot out of it, even without having tons of other gear connected. But on the other hand, nowadays, if people are making music in their studios, they have several devices, so you might as well try to hook it up to other things to see how you can further shape the sounds. But I am pretty convinced that it's a valid standalone instrument in and of itself. But I'll know more once I put my hands on it and try to make some music out of it.
So you said before we're starting this recording this episode that you have a little bit more audio sample, so I would say we could listen to another audio sample and then talk a little bit of what you've done in the sample that maybe the people who are interested in can maybe get some inspiration for their own patches.
Yes, what I can do is to play the sample and then maybe isolate the individual tracks so that the individual sounds are also clear. That might be good.
Yes, that sounds great.
All right. Yeah, so that was pretty much it.
It sounded really nice.
Cool.
So,
Thanks.
what did you do in the patch for this little piece of music you just showed us?
Well, it's 2016 that you're asking about. So, well, first of all, I hope it's easy to hear, and for everybody who listens, there is a frequency running at 44 hertz. So, if you want to hear that, you'll need at least headphones or, something that can translate that frequency range, which is very low, obviously. As far as I remember, this was still run by these word generator sequencers. So I had an idea for a polyrhythm, so for sequences that chase each other and sounds that will go back to the same spot after a certain amount of bars. So I started with an idea of a polyrhythm, and then just programmed the sequencer in a way that it could make it. And I decided that like the first resonator would be at, like I said, at around 44 hertz. So that was basically, with a bit of imagination, the kick drum and the sub bass. So then another element was more, let's say, a high pitched percussion that was still a sine tone. The second one that I showed, the one which is quite snappy, short, and has a clear pitch. And the third one was still coming out of a resonator that normally should make a sine wave, but in that case, I sent it to another machine that made it sound a bit more like a like a right cymbal, like a really high pitched right cymbal. So the idea was like to make percussion music, like electronic dance music, but using more abstract elements and still referring to some electronic music genres. Yeah, that's a big part also of my research, just taking some music that belongs more to the club, for instance, and then sort of playing around with it. So taking it out of its original environment of being functional, of being four to the floor, and very straight and very, you know, like club-wise. So borrowing some elements from that environment and then playing around with them, turning them into a bit of a more loose thing. I don't know if this makes sense, but yeah. I hope so.
We all hope it, but I think it made sense.
okay, good. Yeah. Then I something else that I showed was just the reverb that the instruments were going into. And then there was like a longer sine tone that was made by another device still in that room. But as you can hear, it's very minimal. It's very empty. It's very sort of strange meditation to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, after this a little bit more technical talk, maybe a little bit of a simpler question, with the now rising capabilities, with the now rising popularity of analog computers again, would you say that music with analog computers will get more popular in the next few years, or will it be still an extremely niche type of music?
Well, it's hard to say. The thing is that now we are so overwhelmed with novelty. You know, and everybody seems to be chasing after the new device, because with that new device you will really be able to express yourself and so on, which I think is just a myth. It's a legend. It's the product of like consumerism, and it's not because of that device that people will be able to express themselves fully. Of course, the device itself is important, is an instrument to get some ideas across, but I don't believe that it's linked to a specific device. That said, I don't think, or I'm not sure if analog computers in the electronic music scene will gain more popularity, also because of the huge amount of gear, gadgetry or great instruments that you can see every week popping up. But I sure hope so. I cannot really predict that, especially because of the huge amount of equipment that's flying around. And if somebody comes more from the musical background, they probably want to approach things which are closer, and maybe analog computer is a little step further, or because of laziness, or because of I don't know what, fear of how do I use that. Maybe people will resort to something which is a bit more familiar to them. That's my guess, but I don't know. But there's always people like me which are trying to use like the strangest thing around, because I think that's the, you know, what's really curious and what's especially interesting about also exploring the past instead of trying to chase the latest gadget.
A big thing in music right now, or in the synthesizer world, is modular synthesis or modular synthesizers. So I think there are at the moment there are some people who develop modules for these synthesizers with just resembles which are just resembling analog computer components. So would this be also a next step to making analog computers more accessible when you just have it in your normal modular synthesis format?
Yeah, probably. I mean, analog computers served as a blueprint for a lot of modular synthesizer already like 50 years ago. So I can imagine that it might be easier to incorporate like an analog computer into like a different setup that includes synthesizer modules. Consider they're basically relatives of one another, and I can imagine this might be possible. Yeah. Would be curious to go to synth forums or synth fairs to see if there's anybody belonging more to the analog computer world that also presents their instruments. That would be like Super Booth in Berlin, you know. Super Booth is like the mecca for whoever does modular synthesis, and maybe also having the analog thing there would be interesting, I think.
So Bernd, if you are listening, you know exactly what you have to do right now.
Exactly. I mean, I think so many people would be curious, and that might be the probably the best shop window, let's say, where to present that to the modular synthesizer community internationally, because Super Boot is huge. It's a very nice event. Also, they have concerts in the evening and talks.
For analog computing.
Well, mostly for a synthesizer, but that might be the good spot, like I said, to also introduce the analog computer to the synthesizer community, for those who don't know about it, at least.
Yeah, so there is a big discrepancy between the normal synthesizer users and the analog computer synthesizer users.
Yes, in the sense that whoever approaches a modular synthesizer, they already want to have certain modules that will make sound modifications already in the package, let's say. So and everything should be already up and running, so you don't need to spend half an hour or half of your cables or half of your space only to make an oscillator. You know, oscillators are already prepared to do that. You know, and then you might as well want to have a filter to be able to shape the harmonics, and then sample and hold, or a delay, a ring modulator, an amplifier. You know, who wants to build their own modular setup normally starts with these very few simple modules, which already are pre-patched to be able to do that sort of thing. So I can imagine that having, it would require a bit more patching, but I can totally see it exist within a self-made modular setup for sure. So maybe the time is not far when, just like there's the many small brands of analog modular synthesizer, they will also make small, more portable modules for analog based on analog computer circuitry. That would be great.
Absolutely. Analog computers are always great, so yes.
Yeah, especially because yeah, this kind of percussive stuff is really quite incredibly sounding. Of course, the question is whether you can cram all that power into a small portable module. Not all the manufacturers can make, incredibly good sounding devices. So, but I can imagine that, since you can do so much more with so much less, then maybe the time is not far, where also that would be included in a setup. Maybe you give also more ideas or more flexibility. Because I mean, what I learned with analog computers is that they are much more flexible. So you can turn it into something that you would call a filter in synthesizer language that everybody's so interested about, of course, just by patching it a certain way. Of course, it requires a lot of preparation, and you cannot make a filter while you're playing on stage. You have to have everything sort of prepared before. But yeah, this flexibility is something that you normally don't have with synthesizers because everything already has one specific function. And with the patching of an analog computer, things are way more flexible.
So if you're listening and you need a business idea, I think we gave a lot of them away.
That's very true. Yeah.
Now you have talked a little bit, so I would just say we could hear to the next little piece of music you wrote and then talk again about it.
What I have here, I mean, I selected some separate elements which are interesting to hear on their own. So this is not music, just like sound samples. And with a bit of imagination, one could turn them into any sort of percussion. Some are very clearly referencing a bass drum, for instance, or some are more referencing a hi-hat or a small snare. But yeah, I think I'll just play this separate sample just to also give an idea of the amount of timbre that you can gain out of it. All right. So yeah, these were all separate elements that if one wants to have a music tip, you record them individually. They are basically sample. You import them into a sampler that could be just your Ableton Live workstation. And yeah, you give them different functions of a percussion setup, and you can make beats with that. Yeah, that's what I ended up doing also for my own setup because I didn't say that before, but I imported all of these analog computer sounds into a modern sequencer that also works as a sampler, so you can upload your own recordings. And then the next live set I'm going to play is actually using mostly the sounds of that analog computer at the Villain 2 studio. So I have I've found a way to bring it around also on stage.
You said live. Maybe one question for the people who are now interested in analog computer music: where could one hear your music live?
Well, the next thing I have is in a festival in Bari, Italy, which is in the south, on the 28th of May. It's a festival called Experimenta. And yeah, they booked me because they heard a set that I played in Berlin at a venue called Arcaoda, a nice series called Absurd Luster. And yeah, I managed to record it properly, and it's mostly based on these analog computer sounds, and they enjoyed it, and so they invited me to perform it again, yeah, on their stage.
Nice. When you perform your music live, what do the audience think of this different type of music you are making with analog computers?
I hope they think it sounds really good. well, I don't know specifically. I mean, for the live, I mean, it's not that I have like a one clear feedback. For the records, which are based on these sounds, I heard many people say that, yeah, that it sounds very sort of like rough and primitive in a nice way. It sounds very physical. Yeah, that's one thing also to mention, because yeah, the way that sounds are, that, like, you know, CV, like electricity is translated into sound, is very direct, very tangible, very physical. That's one of the things that I remember hearing mostly for the recordings that I did. But yeah, we'll see what they say also.
I think it's quite true with the sound, this physical sound of analog computers.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's really a beast. I mean, it can be quite overwhelming. So especially if you have to amplify through a big sound system and you don't want to blow everybody's ears, you have to take care about, mixing it decently so it doesn't blow everybody's ears. Yeah, but the the physical element will stay there.
Mm-hmm. So analog computer music sounds quite special, and maybe in general experimental music sounds quite different to the music we normally know from the radio, etc. Mm-hmm. So you're also making experimental music, so what is this? And you also talked about test equipment at the beginning. So what's the point of making music with absolutely not for music made products like test equipment?
Yeah, I mean, I was always fascinated by the physicality and the richness of sounds, because I also come from acoustic music. You hear live drums or a live piano, and the harmonics, you know, the way that sounds are produced is very rich, and the harmonics are not linear also. So they are very sort of sensual because of that, which is the beauty of acoustic music. But yeah, the richness in harmonics was always something that really got to me. And also the physicality of it. And I only found that sort of presence in sound with some analog synthesizers, because they sound so alive. And that's exactly what really got me into that. And slowly, the more you dig, the more you also get to know more rare equipment, such as the analog computer. But for me, they still belong to this category of sounds which are extremely alive and rich. And it's almost like a raw matter that you can mold to your needs and to whatever you want to record and make out of it. I think that's how I would best describe it, like this sort of powerful and beautiful sounding machines, which you don't really hear so often in more modern gears, because everything has been made a little more tame in a sense, or readily usable. There's a lot of EQing, there's a lot of pre-patching, which is fantastic, because of course you can make music in almost no time. I mean, you can record music in no time, but those older instruments are something that you still have to tame, and which are very powerful and also maybe limited compared to a modern device that can do basically the only thing it cannot do is like bake a pancake. But the fact of being so limited can also help your research, because then you have much less options to juggle with, and that's where you really have to be creative. That's something that I always found in my own practice. Like, the more limitations you have, the more you have to really bring out the most out of your imagination.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are using VSTs and digital instruments nowadays. So is there a digital instruments or sample pack you can get to make your own analog computer music just on your computer?
Not that I know if there is. I don't think there is like a sample pack. That's another really good business business idea. No, maybe I should make one.
Yes,
that's a good idea. That's also why I record these separate samples. Yeah, to be able to make my own library. Yeah, I am not aware of that, but maybe I don't know if your research there's. You know, like somewhere in the deep web, there's somebody who has made it, but I honestly doubt it. I don't know. Yeah, good idea though. Yeah, to have like a sample pack out of maybe at the Villain Tve Studios, they thought of that and they already took separate samples to give out to their students. I'm not sure.
We should start a startup company for analog computer music.
Sounds like yeah. Modules to include in your live setup, and also the sample pack. Yeah, everybody wants to use sample packs, and these are very special. Yeah, true. Yeah.
So with a little look at the clock, we are already talking about for around 45 minutes, so I would say we hear another last piece of music, talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, that was also something recorded with the same machine. Yeah.
So what have we just heard? It sounded a little bit like a mixture of a U-boat and hitting a steel cable somehow. there were one noise that sounded like when you hit a steel cable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe you refer to the kind of reverb that's like a spring reverb.
Mm. Yeah, yes, it's exactly. It sounded extremely like a spring reverb.
Yeah, which is exactly what you were saying. It's a spring which gets hit, and gets hit by the sound that you feed into that, and the louder the sound you feed into that, the bigger the movement the spring will make, and that's how the reverb is really created. Yeah, it's I think one of the very first reverbs that was invented, and I still find it really nice. And it's been used in all sorts of music, also in dub music. It's not something only belonging to the experimental music thing.
So then another question, not exactly about analog computers, but with physical instruments in general. There's a controversy in the music industry about using physical instruments. What's your opinion on using physical instruments against digital instruments?
By physical, do you mean analog?
No, just in general, non-digital instruments, but yes.
You mean just like to use a piano instead of a synthesizer?
Now I would, if you have a physical instrument like a synthesizer that you can turn the knobs, or analog computer where you can turn the knobs and unplug the cables.
Ah, yes. Well, up until, let's say, 5 years ago or something, there was this huge revival of anything hardware. So if you would have your hardware set up, if you would have your analog gears, your modular synth that you would play on stage, you would be booked in no time. I remember, like with a previous project that I worked with for 10 years, actually, with the Lumis Okea, with Kunrad Ecker, we used to travel with a 20 euro kilogram suitcase each to play at festivals, and then we would have, I don't know how much stuff, you know, and that was really kind of hyped up until a few years ago, and then it was not such a requirement, or it was not so hip anymore, and then I don't think there's an actual controversy, but it is true that if you bring your own gear nowadays, for some reason it's considered to be more authentic when it's about a performance, a music performance. At least that's what I think, or that's what I hope when I hear that. But at the end of the day, you know, I could be playing a set, which I also did, just bringing my laptop with sounds of an analog computer or whatever analog synth, and it sounds fantastic from the point of view of just sound, and even though it's coming out of a laptop. So at the end of the day, I think you should just judge on what you hear more than whether the guy is turning some knobs, which is anyway not very exciting to see, or you know, pressing the space bar. So yeah, I think best is just to judge on what you hear more than what you see.
Then one last question, which I ask all my guests: is there anything not necessarily related to analog computer music that you would want to give the listeners on their way in the next time?
I mean, I don't know. Just be lucky enough to, find something that really, really interests you and really motivates you and makes you curious. And just stick to that and try to go down the rabbit hole. I mean, of course, it's sort of a lucky thing already to have something which is a clear passion. But I think looking for that and looking what your talent is, because we all have some, even though maybe society, parents, friends, somehow teachers sometimes made us think that we don't have any. I think we all do. It's just that it's a matter of fact of finding out how to express them. So some of us have been more lucky that already had an idea of how to express them and to identify them, some of us less. And I think that it's important to never think that you don't have any. It's just a matter of finding out what it is and how to get closer to that and work on it.
That's nice. Very ending, I think.
Thank you.
Nice ending. So I think we are now at the end of this episode, and then a huge thanks to you for talking in this episode. I think it have I think it's one of the best episode I recorded until now.
Great.
Yes,
thank you.
So a huge
thank you for having me.
No problem.
Yeah. Thank you for having me and good luck with the podcast.
Thank you. And for the ending, we could just hear one full version of a song or sample you made. Because
yeah.
I think if you are interested in the music, you just can now listen to a little bit what Andrea made.
Yes, I can still play one of the samples that I selected for this interview. And this one. Yeah. So still keep in mind that it's not mixed. It's not composed. You know, it's really straight from the workstation recordings.
Mm-hmm. And maybe before we start hearing it, goodbye to everyone, and we will hear us in the next episode. And
yeah,
now it's your stage.
Great. Okay. Bye-bye.